Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, the perfection of renunciation, text number 57. Cetasa sarva karmani mahi sanyasya matraha puri yogam upashitya machitak sadadam bhava. Cetasa, by intelligence. Sarva karmani, all kinds of activities. Mahi, unto me. Sanyasya, giving up. Matparaha, under my protection. Puri yogam, devotional activities. Upashitya, taking shelter of. Machitaha, in consciousness to me. Satatam, 24 hours a day. Bhava, just become. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And all activities just depend upon me, work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Purport. When one acts in Krishna consciousness, he does not act as the master of the world, just like a servant. One should act fully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Servant has no individual independence. He acts only on the order of the master. Servant acting on behalf of the Supreme Master is unaffected by profit and loss. He simply discharges his duty faithfully in terms of the order of the Lord. Now one may argue that Arjuna was acting under the personal direction of Krishna, but when Krishna is not present, how should one act? One acts according to the direction of Krishna in this book, as well as under the direction of the guidance of the representative of Krishna, then the result will be the same. The Sanskrit word matparaha is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while acting, working that way, one should think of Krishna only. I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting that in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes down through disciple succession from the bona fide spiritual master. So if one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's success in of life and Krishna consciousness is then one's perfection of life, Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So the text again. Cetasa sarva karmani maya sanyasya matraha buddhyogam upashitya machita sadatam bhava. In all activities and for the results, just depend upon me. All activities just depend upon me and work always under my protection. Such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Srila Prabhupada's purport outlines the three different stages of devotional service, namely sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. So Krishna consciousness can be explained very simply. Sambandha means to accept that everything here belongs to Krishna. Abhideya is to find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energy, and prayojana is to do it to please him so that spontaneously, by Krishna's mercy, we remember him. We become conscious of him. But the verse itself is more or less repeating what Krishna has said in different ways, in different places in the Bhagavad Gita. Namely, cetasa, consciousness. Cetasa sarva karmani. Chetasa by intelligence, and Sarva Karmani in all activities. In other words, whatever we're doing, we should use our spiritual intelligence. And that spiritual intelligence comes in different flavors or stages, beginning with trying to understand how all this energy all belongs to Krishna. It's completely under his control. That's Sambandha. And therefore, Krishna will also give us the intelligence, if we accept that, what he wants us to do with it. Why will Krishna tell us what he wants us to do with his energy if we don't want to utilize it in his service? If we don't accept that everything belongs to him, then Krishna will not give us the intelligence how to utilize everything for him. Therefore, chetasa sarva karmani. In all activities, we should try to develop spiritual intelligence by, first of all, trying to understand how everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, the first cantos of the Bhagavatam try to convince us that in reality, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he's controlling both the minute and the infinite. Chetasa sarva karmani maya sanyasi matparaha. And then that intelligence, what to do with Krishna's energy, as Prabhupada said, it's there in Bhagavad Gita as well as from the representative of Krishna. So the intelligence of how to appreciate how the representative of Krishna, by serving the representatives of Krishna, that we can actually, that's how we actually accept and can further realize how everything is Krishna's property. By our own intelligence, it will not be possible to figure out what Krishna wants us to do with his energy. That depends upon hearing, either externally or internally, the instructions of Krishna as found in Bhagavad Gita, as well as Krishna's representatives. We can't serve Krishna directly just by the Bhagavad Gita. We also have to have a feeling of being Krishna's servant, of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So we serve Krishna through his representatives, and therefore part of the intelligence is to understand that, which representative we're serving. Now, if we don't serve Krishna's representative, automatically we'll have to serve Maya's representative. There's no third option. In other words, we may believe that I'm just doing what I want to do, but actually we're doing what someone else is telling us to do. We just don't understand that this memory of what we're doing is really, we've learned it from someone else, either someone spiritual or material. Therefore, chetasa sarva karmani, maya sanyasya. To give up this idea that these things belong to me and I should enjoy the results of my activity. Instead, matparaha, as Prabhupada said, one should have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. Now that's seems quite narrow, that one should have no goal in life. First of all, most people don't have any goal in life other than just make sure they get something to eat today and they have a place to sleep. And they get other kinds of sense gratification, that's kind of the icing on the cake. But basically speaking, people are living like animals. Simply, their goal is to make sure they have opportunities to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. So what to speak of no goal in life, save and accept, only to serve, to satisfy Krishna. Now, our philosophy is that Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure, and that when we actually become conscious of Krishna, then we can experience pleasure. Otherwise, without becoming conscious of Krishna, there's no question of experiencing any real pleasure. Now, there's some kind of happiness in the material world, otherwise no one would be here. But it's not very much. And it's not really happiness. But that we don't know, because we have to experience real happiness And real happiness is Krishna's pleasure. When Krishna is pleased, then everything becomes blissful because Krishna emanates the bliss in waves from himself. He doesn't keep it all to himself. He emanates it like the waves of the ocean. Similarly, Krishna's devotees also, when they're blissful, they emanate Krishna's happiness and their happiness of loving Krishna. So without being able to enter into that experience, then one could not really understand what it means. Krishna's, that one should have no goal in life, save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. In any case, if one can at least try to perform devotional service, there will be some experience of that, but it has to be. And that experience, when it intensifies, goes from simply pure or some faith, little bit of faith, and eventually it comes to feeling and then love, actual feelings of love. So that's our goal. And Matpara, Buddhi Yogam, so that's called Buddhi Yoga, understanding things in terms of relationship with Krishna. Using our intelligence to connect with Krishna and therefore purifying it. As Krishna had said previously, the working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is higher than the mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Evam bude puram budva samstavyatmanam atmana jihi shatru mahabaho kamrupam durasadam. As knowing oneself to be transcendental, material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. In other words, knowing ourselves to be transcendental and spiritual, we can remember Krishna. That we should desire to serve Krishna. And part of that service to Krishna means that if one is trying to please Krishna, then Krishna will appear in one's memory. Because Krishna will come to accept that service. As Krishna has said in the previous verse, bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmitatvataha. That only by bhakti can one actually enter the mysteries of understanding Krishna. So when we try to please Krishna, then Krishna comes to accept that service from us. In our memory, at least. And we can experience his satisfaction. In other words, if we try to please Krishna, we have that desire as much as we have it, then Krishna will appear before us and we'll experience his pleasure. We'll experience his happiness. But if we have no desire to please him, if we don't accept that this energy belongs to him and that we should utilize it for his service, why will he come to us? To do what? He's not coming before us to put on a theatrical performance. It's not that we say, hey, Krishna, come, I'd like to see you dance. That's not our position. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, controlling every atom. What does he want? What does he have to come to us and put on a dancing show? No, we have to dance for Krishna to please him, and then Krishna may come and accept that service, attempt to serve him. And if he's happy, if he's pleased by it, then we'll also experience that. When we experience Krishna's happiness, that's the only way we can actually become happy. That's the only way we can actually experience pleasure. And of course, experiencing Krishna's devotees' happiness is also Krishna's happiness. We experience Krishna's happiness through the devotees' happiness. A real actual devotee always has Krishna within their heart, and their happiness is experiencing Krishna's happiness. So when experiencing the devotee's happiness, we're actually experiencing Krishna's happiness through the devotee, as well as the devotee's happiness. Therefore, matparaha buddhiyogam upashitya matshita saratam bhava. And it's not it's supposed to turn into an eternal experience. Therefore, we're learning from the devotees how to enter into eternality. Machita, machkata, prana. How to put our mind on Krishna by putting our, first of all, our energies into Krishna's service, then we'll be able to concentrate our mind upon Krishna. Machita, machkata, prana, bodhi, antash, parash, param. And that's what the devotees discuss among themselves. How they serve Krishna, how they remembered Krishna, and how much happiness they experienced by doing it. Otherwise, why would any of us be here? We don't get any special prize for understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Maybe sometimes the devotees, they take courses and they get the Bhakti Vaibhava the certificate, and they get the Bhakti Sarvabhauma certificate or the Bhakti Shah. They think they're making progress. But actually they're making progress only if they're experiencing love of Krishna gradually by doing it. Otherwise your certificate won't get you entry into Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. So when the Yamadutas come and they say, well, Sarva, we've got to take you away, you say, wait a second, here's my certificate. I'm supposed to go to heaven. I got my certificate. I passed the test. They told me I'd get a free trip to heaven. No. Neither the Vishnu Dutas nor the Yama Dutas is going to be impressed by our certificates. It's our practical service attitude that they're impressed by. It's after passing all these tests, we don't feel meek and humble and have a practical service attitude towards Krishna and his devotees, then we haven't learned anything. Our repeating on the test and getting a mark on it is just like is as good as a parrot taking the test. Now, if a parrot gets a Bhakti Shastri or a Bhakti Vaibhava or a Bhakti Vedanta degree, who's going to be impressed by it? Maybe another parrot. You're a really good parrot. You can repeat exactly what the master has said. No, we have to have Bodhi Antash Parashpam, Gatai Antashpam Nityam. And the fact that we've actually learned something is we're experiencing satisfaction, at least. We're learning something. It makes sense to us. We're inspired to do something about it. We feel that actually this is reality. It's not just a theory. It's the truth. And we're making some progress towards reality. And when we get to the stage of Ramanti, ecstasy, transcendental pleasure, then we can actually see things differently gradually. Things, the very nature of Krishna consciousness is revealed to us. Just like in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that famous verse, punya karma, punya. Te shamandikatam, ye shamandikatam papam, jananam punya karmanam, te dvandvamana mohanir mukdva, bhajante mam dridavrata. So the step by step process is explained there also. First of all, to give up sinful activities. Ye shamandikatam papam. Sinful activities means illicit sex. The pillars of sinful activity are illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. So these are the pillars of sinful activities, to at least give them up physically, and then one has to conquer, work piously. Piously for us means to engage in chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping the deities, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, and trying to spread Krishna consciousness or make the atmosphere spiritual. So all our activities, whether we're cooking in the kitchen, or cleaning the temple, these are all transcendental spiritual activities. So if we're not doing the sinful activities, we won't be drawn away from Krishna's service. We'll be able to become inspired to do even the simple activities. Cooking, cleaning, chanting, reading, worshiping the deity. We'll actually think that these are valuable. An ordinary person would think these people are wasting their time. They had a bad childhood. Their parents didn't give them any dolls, so they know they're spending the rest of their life playing with dolls in this, what they call the temple. Cooking for the dolls, cleaning for the dolls. So people think like that because they're sinful. They have no spiritual vision. They're being impelled to, they're worshiping their doll, their dead bodies. That's their dolls. But that's not the end of it. It's not that, all right, we're doing these pious activities, so we're all right. We're going to heaven at least. No, then one has to conquer sinful reactions, because unless we're learning detachment, unless we have sufficient knowledge, just doing pious activities, devotional activities, and at the same time maintaining material attachments, even some of the ones we're not even conscious of. Matter of fact, because we're not conscious, we're hardly conscious of even our attachments. We're so attached, we're not even conscious of what we're attached to. Therefore, one who gradually, Krishna reveals some attachments we have, and either Maya kicks us to get rid of them, or we get some bliss and we voluntarily become purified from them. But then one has to conquer sinful reactions. That is, become aloof from them by becoming attached to concentrating the mind on Krishna. Then one can actually accept actual devotional service. One can actually do things just to please Krishna and not become attached to what I'm going to get from it. Then, when one is able to concentrate one's mind upon Krishna in that way, and actually feel Krishna's presence, then gradually one understands what Krishna is really like, because one can experience Krishna. And one becomes like that also. One gradually becomes purified in Krishna after the stage of Nishta, or in the attempt to become Nishta, when we can concentrate our mind upon Krishna, gradually we understand how Krishna is actually quite sweet. He's absolutely sweet. But because we're not so sweet, therefore we project onto Krishna, he must be, you know, he's a big controller, he's probably doesn't care about anyone. All these people are suffering and he doesn't do anything about it. But whatever we project upon Krishna, the same things we're thinking about, the same mentality we have, we project upon Krishna because we can't understand how he's absolutely loving and sweet. But then when it actually rises to pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can actually experience Krishna's sweet mentality, his sweetness, and the absolute sweet nature of his devotees too. And then one falls in love with Krishna. One can meditate upon, entrance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the process that one gradually, if one takes the devotional service correctly, then gradually one will learn how to become more steady in devotional service and more enthusiastic, more careful, more attentive. And this is repeated in so many different ways. Gradually, this care and attention develops into steadiness and enthusiasm, and that develops into full concentration and love upon Krishna. And the process is very simply explained here. Understand how everything belongs to Krishna. That's the first cantos of the Bhagavatam and most of the Bhagavad Gita. Try to utilize our energies in Krishna's service under the direction of a representative of Krishna or representatives of Krishna. Try to see how every devotee in some way or another is a representative of Krishna, and under the superior guidance of the perfect devotee of Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, try to serve them appropriately. And then try to do it in such a way that's pleasing, with some care and attention. We show our desire to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna, by doing what he wants us to do, and doing it very nicely, very carefully, according to all the different details of how to do things. Then the result is that we'll think about Krishna, and eventually when we'll think about Krishna, we'll actually be with Krishna in the spiritual world. It won't be just some thought, it'll be an experience of divine love. And even if it's not completely divine love at the beginning, one will actually gradually develop some liking to hear about Krishna, and that will turn into actually experience of Krishna's presence. As that intensifies, then one's mind will become attached to Krishna, and the first feelings of love towards Krishna will manifest, and eventually will develop into full love for Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I don't want to feel it, that what Krishna is happy. I have enough, one drop of this, okay. I can perform one drop of this ocean, I can die.
I don't understand. If you get one drop of the ocean of happiness, you'll die.
Of Krishna.
One drop of...
One drop is too much for me.
Too much. Well, take a fraction of a drop. Just take a fraction. These drops are quite big, anyhow. Divide the drop up a little. you don't want to drown in a drop. Yeah. Anyhow. Yes. Anything else?
How can you know that you feel happiness because Krishna is peace and not the happiness of this material world?
Well, if you don't know, you probably haven't. You're probably just experiencing the happiness in the material world. No, it's a different quality. It's like in the spiritual world, if you eat a gulab jamun, every time you remember the gulab jamun, it tastes better and better. Just in your memory, you experience it more and more. So, generally speaking, if we experience at least to some degree of intensity something spiritual, we have no doubt. Of course, that verse is there: Bhakti Parashan Uvyaktir, Anyata Trikakala, Prapanaman Nasyanta Tushnatasus, Tushti Pushti Shudapaya Nugasam. You can tell if you've had some spiritual experience. Just like you don't need a certificate if you eat a meal. Because after you eat the meal, you naturally feel satisfaction from the food, alleviation of hunger, and growing strength. So if we're actually experiencing ecstasy or happiness in Krishna consciousness, or even a little bit of pleasure, then it detaches our mind from material desires. It helps us see everything in relation to Krishna. And it gives us an ever-growing feeling of appreciation and love for Krishna. And everyone and everything in relation to him. Anything else?
Yeah.
Yes.
How we get spiritual strength and when? The spiritual strength. When
strength?
Yeah.
You mean spiritual strength?
Mm-hmm.
Just chant Hare Krishna and pay attention, and you'll find out that you can detach yourself from your material mind by attaching yourself to Krishna's, the sound of Hare Krishna. That's called spiritual strength. Because the soul, its will is very weak, therefore it allows its mind to wander around with the material, according to where the material mind is directing it. And therefore it feels helpless or hopeless in the ocean of material desires. But when we chant Hare Krishna and we try to pay attention, then the soul gets growing spiritual strength to detach itself from material allurements and ever-growing strength to take shelter of Krishna. And when we take shelter of Krishna, in Krishna's shelter, that we have unlimited strength. Just like a little spark is not very significant in strength, but when it enters into the fire, then it takes shelter of the fire and has the strength of the fire. So by ourselves, we're not very, we have no strength outside of our taking shelter of Krishna. And then we get unlimited strength in Krishna's shelter.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
How do you relate to Krishna?
What's that?
How do you relate to Krishna?
How do I relate to Krishna?
Yes.
Well, the best way of relating to Krishna in this age is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O the energy of the Lord, O the Supreme Lord, kindly engage me in your loving service. And then we should do some service for him. That's the best way of relating to him. Chant Hare Krishna and do some service for Krishna. Khala Granthara Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.